Pirate Crew.
Love it, Texas. It's kind of bittersweet today. We got some rain today.
it got some rain, man. I live right by a pond, and the other day I was walking by the pond, and it looked dry. It was sad. I was trying to go talk to God out there, but I was like, dang, I think I might want to just go back home. But, yeah, but we're getting some rain, so hopefully we get some more pond. We'll get that pond to get back. Won't be so dry next time. What you just got through hearing was Lonnie Barker goes by L Boogie. That's off his album, The Truth Untold. And also, Lonnie Barker is also a kinfolk of mine. I'm going to like to give some 10 minutes of silence, and then I'm going to go ahead and be with you, Mr. Ivy. 10 seconds of silence real quick. RP to my uncle who died late last night. We've been knowing it was coming. But, man, I tell you, man, every time I close my eyes, I see him. So, man, if you got a loved one out there, man, make sure you hug him. Make sure you give somebody a kiss, even if it's your drunk uncle or your crackhead auntie or whoever it is, you know what I'm saying? And you don't like them coming up to your house, man, because they always into something or want some money or whatever, man, hug them. You know what I mean? Kiss them. You know, show them some love. I know as black folks, sometimes we be so hard to one another, we don't even hug each other sometimes. We scared to even hug our mom or whatever, you know what I mean? But just hug them, man. It's all right, man, but give 10 seconds. All right, good deal, man. All right, that's 10 seconds. All right, RP, Uncle Wayne. All right, man, let's go ahead and get the party started. Mr. Ivy, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing well, man. So tell me, how was the rest of your week last week coming up into today?
Man, it was really good. Man, I've just been working to get a lot of things. This project that I'm working on, working to get all of that done, man, but it was good.
Okay, already, that's what's up, man. If you're just now tuning in, that was Reverend Stephen Ivy actually working with the University of Arkansas choir, the gospel choir over there. We get together. We just started season three, this episode two of season three. Today I got a professional bodybuilder on the show. He's a Muscle Mania pro. His name is Markel Pearson. We actually went to Harding together. I believe he was his freshman year, my senior year. Man. So you big swole dude. I knew, man, when I first seen him, I knew he was going to be swole. Well, he was already swole, but, man, it's going to be very interesting to hear his journey and hear the exciting things that he has coming up. But right now, Mr. Ivy, I'm going to go ahead and give you the flow, man, so you can do your thug sizzle.
All right. Well, kind of like I texted you last week, man, your story from last week, man, just kind of set me on fire, and I was like, man, I wish we were coming back on the next day, because to hear your story of faith and your story of perseverance, man, I think that's what anybody needs to hear. And I've been on this kick here lately about just having faith and pursuing my dreams, and oftentimes pursuing your dreams takes a great deal of faith, because most of us, the majority of us, are not born with silver spoons in our mouths. The majority of us are not born with the way all is paved for us. So we have to, in some ways, go pave the road ourselves. And, you know, times get hard. Things don't happen like we expect them to happen. But the more we stay focus on our dreams and our faith, the more eventually we'll end up realizing whatever those dreams were, and those dreams will become a reality. And so I just wanted to encourage everybody with that. And, you know, as a preacher, I'm not going to preach, but one of the things I've been doing is reading Hebrews.
Let them know, Rev.
Yeah, I've been reading Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 11 is just an amazing faith builder. And so I would encourage anybody that if you have an impossible task or you have a task that seems impossible, just read that. And, you know, ultimately for me as a Christian, as a believer, faith, my faith is in God. And so that passage, Hebrews, all of Hebrews 11, is just amazing. They call it the the Hall of Faith, because it just goes through so many people from the Old Testament that had faith in what they couldn't see, and how through faith they were able to do great things for their people and in their time and in their generation. I'll close with this. I was sitting, God has had me on this thing of faith and really kind of trusting him to be the source, the head, and financially my support. And so when I really got that in my heart, I made some decisions to change some things, financially, job wise, and things like that. And long story short, when I moved here, Pete, to Arkansas, 07, man, I was struggling. I moved here to be a part of a church. The church didn't pay me. They paid me $100 a Sunday, so that wasn't going to even take care of an apartment. You know what I'm saying? So, needless to say, I had to get other jobs. And being I'm 19 at the time, being 19, trying to pay a cell phone bill, an apartment, utilities, and ended up having to get a car. I wasn't making a lot of money, so. I had this Ford Taurus, I'll never forget. And being so young, I didn't know when you bought a car, you had to pay sales tax to get your stuff registered. So I got the car. Well, I didn't know sales tax was another $700, $800. So I just did not have that money. So I went for a month or two without, with expired tags, you know, still having a dealership tag that they give it to you, that they give to you when you first get the car. So anyway, I got stopped by the police all the time for that tag, and I accrued some tickets. And so my journey for years, man, was these tickets, because I didn't have money to pay them off, couldn't even really at the time be on a payment plan because I just couldn't afford it. So I would get warrants. I had been arrested. It was crazy, man. And this is about 8 years, because this was 07, 08. So to this day, I'm still paying some of that debt off. And so I called the lady, called the court yesterday, and was just like, you know, how much do I owe? You know, where am I at? I'm trying to get this done and just trying to see how much it is. So the lady was like, she looked at it, told me all of what I had, and after looking at the amounts, she was like, these charges are old. These charges are very old. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take some of these charges off because they're just so old.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take it off. And she said, so this is actually going, me taking these charges off are going to lower your balance. And I'm telling that story, and why it was such a blessing for me is because I have a mentor that I meet with every other week. I mean, and he's been challenging me even in my faith walk and my ability just to trust God, and the stories that he's told me, that was almost the equivalent of stories that he's told me has happened in his life. When he started trusting God, wasn't that God gave him more money? Wasn't that God gave him a lump sum of cash? But just miraculously through the working of the Holy Spirit, debts that were owed just started to vanish, either because people were being nice or would give something. And so I'm saying all that to say, man, have faith, trust God. I just made up my mind a few months ago that I know what my gifts are, and so I have to walk in my gifts and what I know God wants me to do. And that was just one testimony of what I believe are going to be many. And I want to encourage whoever's listening in the same way, for those that might not have even heard your story last week, is follow your dreams and have faith in God, man. And you'll look up, you know, years down the line, and you will have reaped from the seeds that you sown. Be blessed.
Wow, there you go. You'll reap from the seeds that you have been sown. That's what's up. That's Professor Ivy. I mean, as he might say, Professor Professor Ivy. Yeah, that's the words of wisdom for Professor Ivy. Well, all right, Mr. Ivy, That's what's up, man. Feel free to go ahead and stay on the line. On the line, I do got a Rolette. I think that's how you say it. Rolette High School graduate. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I met him at Harding University. He was a freshman. I think he may not know the story, but I was actually in the coach's room when they was watching his highlight tape. Because they was asking me what I thought about him. So now I think it's kind of weird that I asked him to be on my radio show. But, man, straight from Garland, Texas, living reckless in the Lexus. Now, I don't know if he got no Lexus or not. But Markel Pierce, what's up, homie?
What's up, big dog? What's up?
Hey, man, I hear you kind of sound all cool.
What's up, big dog?
Already, man. That's cool. Well, all right, man. I done briefly kind of introduced you. You know, so go ahead and let the people know your name and where you from and what you stand for, homie.
What's up, y'all? It's Markel Pearson, the Lone Star Bodybuilding Champion in WrestleMania and your new WrestleMania Pro. You know, graduated from Rolette, went to Harding, kicked it with PDP. You know, we became like one of my big brothers, man. What he don't know is I learned a lot from Pete, man. You know, my red shirt year, they probably don't even know Pete. You know, I almost got taken off the scout team because I don't know if you remember that time I hit Zach Ross and I wasn't supposed to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I've just been going hard since day one, man, and just trying to make a name for myself and trying to better myself. Keep myself out of trouble and, you know, easy, which is easy to find nowadays. Just, you know, got my family now, married with two kids, Pete, you know. So just trying to live right, you know, like they instilled in us, man.
Hey, yeah, man, I feel you, man. It's crazy, like you say, man, trouble, which is easy to get into. I mean, you know, I'm no stranger to trouble. I came, I'm like, God, dog, I never got in no trouble in middle school, high school, you know, school in general.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, I definitely know.
Yeah, so, man, we're going to jump right into it, Mr. Pearson. I mean, my bad. I'm bad. Professional muscle mania, Mr. Pearson, you know what I'm saying? So I know people may look at your life, man, because you're an athlete, you went to school, now you married, two kids. A lot of people don't understand the struggle, though, within that. It's not to just get it, but to sustain it. So what was your mindset? What helped you stay on the straight path to go through high school and then eventually go to college? So what the question that I'm asking is, did you always know you was going to go to college, or what was your mindset in high school, player?
Man, I'm gonna be honest with you, man, and I've actually had the privilege to tell a lot of young athletes this story already. And, man, starting from the beginning, in Little League, man, when I hit the football field, man, it was an exceptional thing, and a lot of people could see, you know, that it was a different breed than everybody else that was playing, you know. But my family, I mean, football, that's what we do, man. I know there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way as far as a certain sport, you know, as basketball players, as track stars, as football stars. You know, people will tell you when they see something exceptional. And so my whole life, man, all I heard was, man, you're so great in football. You know, I can't wait to see you on Sundays. I can't wait to, you know, see you on Saturdays playing big-time college ball or see you on Sundays playing in the NFL. And so my whole life, man, football became what I surrounded my life around. And as you know, man, in the state of Texas, football, man, you in a crazy sense, man, if you're a good football player in the state of Texas, man, you almost treat it like a guy. It's crazy, man, how
yeah.
crazy it gets
mm-hmm.
in the state of Texas, man. And I, like I said, I know it's probably the same other places, but you hear about Texas high school football all day, every day. You know, you turn on the TV, they talking about, oh, you know, I think we have like four high schools in the top 10 or whatever in the nation. And so, man, the closer I got to college, man, in high school, I got to the point, man, where, to be honest, man, you know, I didn't care about, you know, doing really good in my classes, just as long as I did good enough to play, man, you know. And I had that mentality that all I cared about was ball. I didn't realize that the effects that your education really is going to have on you and the effects of actually taking it serious. And the bad thing was, man, I'm a smart dude. And that was one of the biggest problems was I knew I was smart and I knew I really didn't have to try as hard as everybody else. So really, you get me a 70, man, I'm good. As long as I get that passing grade, I'm good. I can play. And I hindered myself, man. And looking back, I wish that I'd have took, you know, school more seriously and would have understood the effects of what was going to come and how it was going to help me in the long run. And then, but I got so tied up in football, man, and hearing people tell me how great I was. And, you know, man, I started 3 years on varsity, man, as a sophomore, man, a 5'8" cornerback. And so, you know, you matter of fact, my grade, man, at Rowlett, it was six of us sophomores that got moved up. We're one of the biggest classes that in Rowlett to get to move up that many sophomores. And not only did we move up, we were all placed in a position to start. And we all instantly found how, you know, how much pressure came with that and the lifestyle of being a high school football player or a high school athlete in general, you know, and what comes with that. And you have to grow up, you know, you have to grow up when you get in that life, and you have to realize that is when the trouble really starts to follow you, man. And, you know, there's ups and downs as far as recruiting. I'll never forget, man, my junior year, I was one of the top corners in Texas. I was in the top 100 corners in USA. And I'm 5'8", man. I'm guarding dudes like Azuma Nwachukwu, who graduated from Allen High School and went on to play at Texas A&M and now plays with Houston, Texas. I'm guarding guys like Dan Buckner. I'm doing one-on-ones in practice with names like Marquise Goodwin, you know, who that's one of my best friends. I was actually texting him this morning. Marquise Goodwin went on to the Olympics to do long jump, plays with the Buffalo Bills right now, you know what I'm saying, and he's a great athlete. So I'm guarding guys with big names, you know, stuff like that. And you realize, man, outside of football, people will latch on to you because they see, oh, man, this guy's got potential. He's going to do something, man. I need to be friends with this guy, or I need to get close to this guy because, you know, that may be my ticket out of here. And you have to learn to see the real and the fake at a young age when you're in that position, man. And it's crazy because I see so many guys that just fall into the same things that I did. And they say, you know, they say hindsight's 20/20. And so I try to mentor them, you know, and just say, hey, look, man, I know you think that guy's your friend, but you need to see what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Realize what he's doing. Or I know you think that girl, you know, I think, you know, you know, you think your game good because that girl, you know, you pulled her or whatever. And it's like, but you need to realize at this age, man, you need to realize, is it genuine or is it just because of the name and who you are? And I think a lot of guys don't realize that. And I got to the point in high school, man, where I tell people all the time, and it's a sad story, that in my mind, I had got to the point in my mind that I was so stuck on football and hearing everybody tell me how good I was, I didn't even apply for college, man. I didn't.
Wow.
And I had got to the point where I told myself, if I don't get a scholarship, then I'm not going. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go because I was so tied up in the football, I didn't take my study serious. And I'll never forget, man, my junior year, I'm ranked high as a corner. I'm doing all this. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting let. I still to this day, I have like 10 shoeboxes full of letters. You know what I'm saying? Between my house and my mom's house, shoeboxes full of letters from any college you can think of, you know? And my junior year, I sustained a shoulder injury. And I don't even think Harden knew that because I tried to keep it on the hush, man. But I sustained a shoulder injury where I split my rotator cuff and I sprained my AC joint really bad. And I just kept on playing on it. And I was supposed to get surgery, but each time the doctor would get sick. And I was like, well, I ain't trying to do it no more because it's just a sign that it's not supposed to happen. You know, if every time it comes up, he's getting sick, then I'm not supposed to get this surgery. So I would play on it and play on it, man. And my senior year, I moved from corner and I played like a – we ran like a 4-2-5. So I played like nickel corner / strong safety in our defense. And, man, I'll never forget, man, that the calls stopped coming. And, you know, I also came through in a time when I call the great transition, man, where all of a sudden all the big-time coaches are getting fired or they moving schools and stuff like that. Man, I had this one coach from New Mexico, man. He would call me. Coach Todd would call me every week. And I'll never forget, I was sitting at my girlfriend's house at the time, and he called me, and he was like, hey, man, you know, we just signed off on your offer. The defensive coordinator signed off. The head coach is on vacation right now. When he gets back, you know, he's going to sign off on it because we've already talked, and we're going to offer you. And I'm sitting there like, oh, that's what's up. You know, I'm New Mexico, never been there. It's a new place. They got good football, you know, so that's cool. 2 days later, man, he calls me. I'm sitting here waiting for the call to say, you know, we're going to offer you. And he calls me. He's like, hey, Markell, you know, how's it going? I can hear in his voice something was wrong. And he's like, I just want to let you know, you know, coach got fired. We don't know what's going to happen. you know, we put your, we don't know what's gonna happen with us. We put your taste at the top for the next coach, et cetera, et cetera. When I tell you, man, that happened to me about 30 times. You know, I would get calls from coaches saying, we got to offer you. And then the next thing you know, it's like, oh, man, we offered a taller guy or we offered a hometown guy. And or our coach got fired, man. I went from the top of the world to the bottom, man. I'll never forget my junior year, man, Coach Jackson from Kansas come up, pull me out of practice. Dude, during spring football my junior year, man, I barely stepped on the field because I was too busy talking to coaches or, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. And I was on a high horse, man. And then for my senior year, to go from the top of the world to rock bottom, not knowing, I have no offers at this point in time, none. Signing day is in 2 weeks. I have no offers. I don't know where I'm going. I'll never forget, man, my senior year, there's 5 awards you can get at Rowlett: offense MVP, defense MVP, leadership award, the Eagle award, and special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Man, PDP, I got the defense MVP, I got the leadership award, I got the Eagle award. And I remember afterwards, everybody was like, "Oh man, you racked up, you all that, you know, you're the man, blase blase." And I remember getting in my truck after the awards banquet, and I called one of my good friends, Austin Kirpitz, who was a junior defensive end at the time, but we were real close. And I called him, and he was like, "Man, how you feel?" And I was like, "Man, to be honest, I'm not happy. I don't feel good. I feel terrible right now. I'm in my car almost crying." He's like, "Man, what are you talking about? You just got 3 awards, you know, like." You left your name on the plaque, you know, 3 plaques. And I always told him, when I leave, I'm not just going to be a picture on the wall, man. I'm going to leave my name on this wall when I leave. And, you know, he's like, "Man, you got your name on 3 plaques. You got, for the skill position, Pete, man, I had the bench press record. I had the squat record. I had the power clean record. And we did this thing called off-season points. We had this thing called off-season points. And I was pretty much, I had the record for most points in off-season for skill position and lineman at that, you know. Still to this day, that's up there." And he was like, "Man, how are you feeling bad?" I said, "Dude, I have no clue where I'm going next year. I haven't applied for school. I don't have no scholarship, man. I don't know what I'm going to do." And I'm sitting there. He's like, "Man, you got to figure it out." Well, that next weekend, man, Coach Beeson called me. And Coach Beeson and my Uncle Chris actually played down at Harden together, you know, when they played. And he called me. He said, "Hey, man, we want to get you down here for an official visit. You know, can you come up here this weekend?" I'm like, "Cool, definitely come up there." So me and my parents drive out there, you know, recruiting trip. I was with Roger Hurts, man. That was my that's who I stayed with. Big Hurts.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had the volleyball game, and, you know, who else was with us? Rob, CJ, Holt, man, everybody was up there, man. Showing me a good time, showing me love. You know what I'm saying? And, you know how it is when the recruits come in, you get the volleyball girls all around you and stuff like that. You know, we all did the same tricks, you know what I'm saying? So I'm loving it, man. I remember Coach Huck called me in the back, and he said, "Man, I just want to let you know we love your highlight tape. We love, you know, love the way you play, love your style. You would fit perfect in our defense." And what people don't know is, man, he was like, "It's so late, you know, we're kind of low on money, but we want you to come." And I came to Harding, man, on an $1,000 scholarship, not a full scholarship, not on $1,000, man. And just because, man, I was so tired in football and I had waited so late, man, to do what I was supposed to, man, as apply for college, man. And I took it right there, you know what I'm saying? I was like, "Yeah, I'm coming." Now, when I got there, man, it was, you know what I'm saying, everybody showed me love, you know what I'm saying? I loved every aspect of it. Well, here's what I try to instill in a lot of young athletes I talk to, man, is don't believe the hype, you know what I'm saying, like that these coaches tell you, man. I love Coach Huck. I love Coach Huck. I love Coach Beeson, Simon, you know, all of them. But the same thing they're telling you when they talk to you.
Oh, man.
Coach Simon actually added me on. He actually added me on Facebook a couple weeks ago, man. But the same thing they tell you, man.
Huh? I said you're gonna have to tag him in there.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna tag him. But the same thing they're telling you, man. They telling everybody else. Oh no problem. The same thing. Yeah, the same thing they telling you, man, they telling everybody else, you know. And when I left spring football after my freshman year, man, you know, I was the number one strong safety. Steve Hudson was the free safety, and Jasper was the rover, you know what I'm saying? And that was the way that I left school after that freshman year, man, you know. And, you know, I came home, and I was excited, man. I had put on freaking – 20 pounds through my freshman year, man, just muscle, man. And I remember coming home, my mom's like, man, are you okay? Are you eating? What's going on? I was like, click the weights, because, you know, that's where I was, man. You know, we lived in that weight room. And I remember coming back for two-a-days, man, and being hyped and had my head all big. And I remember sitting in that defensive meeting, man, and somehow I went from being the number one strong safety to being in a four-way position battle, you know, with guys. And I'm just gonna speak real on you, you know what I'm saying, with guys that didn't even play strong safety in spring, man, and I didn't understand it. And this is when I learned the business aspect of college, man. I had to, you know, realize what was going on. So they had moved a guy from linebacker, moved a guy from rover and a defensive end to strong safety. And even though I was the only one that played strong safety at the time, I guess they felt because I was a redshirt freshman or something that, you know, maybe, you know, it wasn't time for me to play or something like that. So when I came back, you know, Coach Huck let it be known that the position for strong safety is wide open. And that blew my mind, man, because I balled out in spring. And I left, I'm the first group, you know. And I never did. The first couple of days or two of days, man, I wasn't even with the ones, man. My boy Renee, I love Renee to death, man, but he was the first. He was the first string. You know, he had played already. You know, I guess they want to give him love. Like I said, I love Renee to death, man. And so that's how it was. And after that, Renee was the linebacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came in with Eddie Russ, and I don't know if he was there when the big lumberjack came up in there, Russell. But yeah, man, I think Russell came in the year after you, bro, and they all came from the same JUCO. And I just remember being thinking, man, I didn't understand, and it would bug me, man, because, you know, you go from being on top of the world once again, the second time, man, from being on top of the world to rock bottom, you know. And a lot of athletes that I talk to are like, man, that's not going to happen to me. You know, man, this coach is telling me this. I'm like, man, you need to realize, man, it's a business in college, man, and that's how it's going to be. And I don't think a lot of these kids understand it, but they need to hear it. And I remember being third string, going from first string to third string, and I don't know what happened over the summer. And we had a scrimmage, and Renee got hurt. He tore his ACL within the first week of two-a-days. He tore his ACL in the first week of two-a-days. And then they put Eric over me, and I was second string. And then in the scrimmage, Eric got cut blocked because, you know, man, we switched to that triple option, man, and it was live in the scrimmage. Them defensive linemen was coming at you straight to the knees. You know, we was taught to get off the block because these linemen was going to cut you. So Eric wound up tearing his knee. And I'm thinking, well, now it's got to be me. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything is pointing to I'm supposed to be the starter at this point. And I'm hype again. Next thing I know, man, they moved Jasper back over to strong safety, you know, and that really bothered me, man. And I remember, you know me, man, I was always a clown, man. And people don't know this, man, but my first year on the field, I couldn't even walk in the field house without putting my hood up and my headphones on and getting my head down, man, because I just could not understand why all this was happening to me, man. Like, what have I done to hit rock bottom once again, you know? And then, like I said, everybody's used to fun, goofy Markell, and, you know, I can be that guy. But at the time, man, I was so lost because I still put all my marbles into football. Even at Harding, man, I put education on the back burner, man. I tell people all the time, man, I change my major every semester. Every semester, I just play ball. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And for them to be taking football away from me, man, was killing me on the inside. You know, and I tell these young guys, man, you can love football, but don't let that be the only thing you love. You can love your sport, but don't let it guide your life. You have to guide your life. Don't let a sport, another person, or anything guide your life, because when it gets rocky, you have to be able to be in control. And because I had let football guide my life for so long, the thing I did was because of football. Like, I go to this camp because of football. I went to college because of football. You know, I did this because of football. I worked hard because of football. Not because of me, because of football and what I thought was going to happen because of what I've heard my whole life. And so I'll never forget, man, the first game I'm suited up. We at home against SAU. I played the last four plays of the game. You know, I was like, okay, first game under the belt, whatever. Then we went to Prairie Week. We went to West Georgia. I didn't play any. I played special teams. Matter of fact, I got special team player of the week that week, you know, and but I didn't play any defense. You know, special teams cool, man. You know, it's fun. But I'm a defender, man. I can't just be running down the field on kickoff. You know what I'm saying? That's not what I want to do. So we come back. I'm down again. And I remember going to Coach Simon and saying, hey, man, I just don't know what's going on. I don't understand why you guys don't trust me to play. And he promised me, man, I would split time with Jasper. You know, I'm going hard in practice. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. He's like, you're going to split time. I was like, all right, cool. Well, I split time with Jasper. We had pretty much the same performance, man. Like, as far as the grade sheet, man, I did great. Jasper did great, which is why, you know, in spring, when we was on, he was a robot, I was a strong, which is why I would have fit perfect. The next game after that, I didn't do nothing again. I'm sitting on the sideline, and I'm getting lower and lower. Man, at this point in time, man, to be honest, I'm not going to class. I'm not doing nothing because I can't figure out why this is happening, man. Why this is happening? Like I said, education was on the back burner. Education was on the back burner for me, man, and I just didn't get it. So, man, towards the middle of the season, they took me off kickoff, man, because – we went to Delta State, man, and we went to Delta State. You know that game, man. You know how it is. You know, we went, drove to Cleveland, and you know how that is. And kickoff was all I had. So at this point in time, I was like, you know what? I'm cool with not playing defense. I'm finna rock this kickoff, man, and that's what I'm going to do. Well, after a couple times, the Delta State realized that the dude they had blocking me, Pete, couldn't block me. Bro, I'm in the back all game. You know what I'm saying? I'm putting a dude that blocked me on his butt all game. So they start high-lowing me, bro. I remember, you know, we hadn't beat Delta until this year. This year we beat Delta for the first time. And I remember Kurt caught the game-winning touchdown, right? And we had to kick it off one more time. And I looked at TD, Terrence Davis. I said, hey, man, they not finna do this again, bro. Yeah, I said, they not finna do this again, bro. I got something for them. So I had time to Pete. I was coming down, I was screaming downfield. And the dude went to block me up top. But I punched him right in his helmet, man. But I did it so smooth, Pete, that nobody saw. All you saw, man, was him hit the deck and me keep running. So we clown about it on the bus. We laughing and joking, man. We got to film the next day. We watching special teams film. And I told E. Reed and Jermaine, I was like, hey, man, watch, here it comes. So they see it because I pointed it out. But it was in stride. It looked like I was just running, Pete. Well, we all laughed about it, you know, and Irene was like, hey, Coach, you see Markell put old dude on his butt. Well, when he did that, bro, they saw what I did. Coach Barty took me off kickoff. Man. Coach Barty took me off kickoff. So for that, we went to Henderson. I didn't play. We went to, where else did we? Oh, West Al came to us. I didn't play. And I remember we got to a Wichita Baptist, man. I played two plays the whole game, and one play didn't even count because it was a flag blown dead. The next play, the ball went away, and I just, you know, hit Supernall, who actually plays tight end for the Texans now, and they took me off. And I remember I took my helmet off, and that was it, man. My gasket was blown. Took my helmet off, threw it on the ground, man. And, you know, a Wichita has that little brick wall, man. I kicked that, and I sat down. I wasn't going to go back in, man. I was done. And after that game, man, I walked to my mom's, man. I said, man, I'm done. She's like, what's wrong? I said, I don't want to be here anymore. You know what I'm saying? This is it. I'm done. My life at this point is in shambles, man, because I put everything in football. So when football went to shambles, my whole life went to shambles, man. And I wound up transferring to UNT. And the shoulder injury, I actually heard it again. We played Arkansas Tech. And when I transferred to UNT, I was doing a slight workout right before walk-on trials, man. And my shoulder just gave for the last time, and I had popped my shoulder out of place probably about seven times at this point in time, and this one was the it. And you know, you just know when it's the one, man. And I was doing a slight workout, man. I think I had like 185 on the bar, man, just for reps. And my shoulder gave, and I felt it, and I was like, that's it. That was the one. I'm done. And I remember at that point in time, stopped going to class. I was just living out in Denton. I just pretty much just dropped out of college, man, and started getting into some trouble, man, because that's just what I had too much time on my hands, and that's just what I wound up getting into, man, and just being in some scenes that I didn't need to be into. And then the funny thing is, man, I'll never forget, I'm at a rave club, and I don't know how I wound up there, man, but that's where I was at, because my life, I was so depressed, man, I had to find something to fill that football gap. And I
fill that football.
Exactly, man. And I remember being in line waiting to get in the club, man. And there was this girl who I met in seventh grade, and I had a crush on her, right, back in seventh grade. But she didn't want nothing to do with me because you know how it goes, man. I was the man back then, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing her in line. I said, you know, what's up? She's like, hey. And that's all I said to her because I was too cool, you know what I'm saying? And I thought she didn't want nothing to do with me again. And that girl, yeah. her name was Samantha Johnson then, man. And now her name is Samantha Pearson, man. And she helped me.
Wow.
She helped me get my life back in order big time, man. She would drive, and I'm talking, she lived in Cedar Hill. I lived in Denton, which I don't know if you know, but that's like an hour away. She would drive up, man,
yeah.
and stay. Even though she worked in Cedar Hill, she'd drive up, stay with me, man, and just drive to Cedar Hill and come back. And she helped me get my life on track, man, helped me figure out really what I want to do. She sit down and say, hey, I know you're not in school right now, but what do you want to do? You know, she's adamant about education, which is awesome. You know what I'm saying? And even right now, she's close to like 3 degrees. She's like 2 hours away from 3 degrees each one, you know, and she's not in school right now because we just taking care of our kids. But she's adamant about going back. And I told her recently, I said, it's amazing how much you want to go to class, you know, how much you want to finish college because, like I said, me, man, that wasn't me. I didn't care about school. So it's great that she's like that for our kids. And even me, I want my kids to be better than I was. So I instill in my son, who's 3. I mean, he's 3. He can already count to 40. He can, you know, write his letters, you know, making sure he knows education is good. Now, he loves sports. You give him a football, man, he's all over the place. He's all over the football. He already knows. But, and I remember, man, after I hung up football, I took 2 years not lifting weights. I couldn't even watch football, Pete. And then one day, man, I looked in the mirror and I was like, man, this ain't me. This ain't who I am. And it's after I had spent time, I'd been married and she was helping me get back on my feet and I realized this ain't me. So I wound up getting back in the weight room and just lifting weights and genetically, man, it just clicked on for me. And I just got back in shape, kind of got, you know, my muscles back and stuff like that. And my buddies, we called ourselves the Rose 4 Mafia, man. And my buddies, Daniel Hampton and Jared Collins, was like, man, you should compete, man. I was like, dude, I'm not going to do that. That's retarded. You know, as a football player, you look at these bodybuilders, man. You're like, I'm not going to get up there with no bikini draws on, man, and start flexing. Well, as I started seeing my progressions, stuff like that, man, and I was like, you know what? I think I'll do it, man. So I did a division called Physique, which is they get on there and, like, swim trunks, stuff like that. It's not, like, the whole bikini thing. And I got on stage for the first time, and I liked it. Even though they told me, man, I didn't play as good my first time, and they told me I was just too big for the division. I still need to do bodybuilding. But I didn't want to do the organization I was in, man, because I'm a completely natural bodybuilder, man. I don't do any kind of roids or anything like that. I don't judge people that do that because I know in some organizations that's what you got to do. But me personally, I'm completely natural. So I didn't want to do bodybuilding in that organization. Well, I started talking to Dwayne Malone, and he's a trainer out in Houston. But in Texas, man, he's like Mr. Musclemania. So I started talking to Dwayne Malone about Musclemania and how it was drug tested. I like the organization. I like the look of the bodybuilders, and, you know, it still looks pleasant. You know what I'm saying? They're not just huge. You know what I'm saying? And I wound up doing a Musclemania show. I got 3rd my first Musclemania show, and I had the bug, man. And just like football, man, it has become a passion for me. But unlike football, I don't let it guide my life. I guide my life and bring bodybuilding along with me. And with me doing that, I've excelled so much, man. And I want to say thanks to my wife and my family, first of all, because, you know, without them, I wouldn't be where I am today. And then, you know, just thanks to Dwayne Malone out in Houston. I want to say thanks to my coach now, Brandon Johnson, who's like a big brother to me, man. He's helping me now. And he's also a trainer in the Dallas area. And with those guys, man, everybody is pushing me. My gym, definitely, Compound Gym. It's a new gym out in Dallas, man, but it's a family up there, man, and it's awesome the way we all push each other up there. And we all have similar backgrounds, you know what I'm saying? And it took the gym for each one of us to realize that you can't let whatever you was letting guide your life, you know? And I want to tell these young athletes, man, you got to get with a team that has the same goals as you do. And the guys that are my best friends since high school, man, and I had a lot of friends in high school. They joke about how I knew everybody, hung out with everybody. But the guys that were my best friends in high school, man, we are still tight today, and we are still bettering each other today, you know. And it's going to be times where you realize the guy you think is your boy, your brother, he's really not bettering you. You know what I'm saying? It'll be the guy that, you know, hey, man, let's go do this, let's go do that. And you think that's your boy because, you know, as your boys, you're always together. But if you if they not bettering you, what are they doing to you? You know what I'm saying? And I wish I would have learned that at a younger age, you know, to see who was really guiding me in the right way, who was leading me the right way and not leading me down the wrong path. And, you know, it probably would have turned out different. I probably would have had some boys that said, hey, man, you need to get in your books. I know you're smarter than this. You know what I'm saying? And really focus on that. And I tell my cousin now, man, I got a cousin right. Yeah, I got a cousin right now that's balling out at Rice University. His name's James Maiden. He's a receiver. And the crazy thing is how athleticism runs in my family so much. I got a cousin right now. He's a senior in high school at Saxon. His name's Jared Maiden. He's the number, I think, one or two cornerback in Texas. He's the number 9 in the nation. He committed to Oregon. And his name's Jared. He's going to Oregon. And then his little brother, man, is a sophomore. His name's Jalen, the starting quarterback at Saxon High School. And last week he threw for 7 touchdowns, 500-plus yards, man. And he had five offers before he even – he had 4 offers before he even stepped foot on – played a varsity down. I'm talking Oregon State, Syracuse, Houston, and a school called Bryant. But, you know, it's crazy to see that how much they're excelling. But as much as they're excelling, I tell you the exact same thing. One, you need to focus on your books. I'm not saying everybody is an A student. But if you're a B student, get Bs. You need to focus on getting them Bs. You need to focus on trying your hardest and how you can better yourself. If you're a B student, what separates a B student and A student is how hard you try. If you're a B student and you know you can get a B, why get what you know you can get when you got to try to get better? You know what I'm saying? Do better each time. If you make an 86 1 6 weeks, try to make an 88 the next 6 weeks. You know what I'm saying? And then eventually get some A's. You know what I'm saying? Because the education is a big thing, man. And – you know, I'll be honest, man, I've learned that college ain't for everybody, but you always need to be open to learn new things, you know what I'm saying? And you need to find a way to keep bettering yourself. Never get complacent, because once you get complacent, it's done, you know? And that's what I'm doing right now is bettering myself, networking.
A favorite quote of mine, man, is when satisfaction sets in, progress ends. So, yeah, man, I hear exactly what you're saying. But, man, you can go ahead.
Yeah, man, and I tell people all the time, man, you got to learn to speak for yourself. You got to learn to think for yourself. You got to learn to, you know, be an adult. Even if you 14 years old on varsity, dude, I was on varsity as a 15-year-old kid. I had to learn how to deal with a lot of stuff that comes up. You know how it is. When people see you get scored on you got to deal with that because you know you're going to get fussed about. You got to learn to step it up. Hey, that's cool. It happens. You know what I'm saying? You can't let it beat you down. Don't let society beat you down, man. Because for athletes, they think that's all we can do anyways.
Uh-huh. And then they look at you as a dumb jock or they think you can't do this.
Yep.
But then on the other side, they expect you to do this because then they be like, he ain't focused on his grades. But then you got to realize when you do go to college, how much work the college coaches tell you. You're not here to go to school.
Exactly.
You're here to play football. You know what I'm saying? So,
exactly.
So then on top of
that,
like, that's crazy because, like, you put everything into football, working out, and you put, like you said, putting all your eggs in one basket. But then football wasn't good to you because the amount of work you're putting into it, you're not getting out of it what you put into it. So then that eventually led you to walk away. But let me tell you how God works, man. It's crazy how God works and how things is. And it's crazy how you married now and you got 2 kids when you really sit back and think of it because after all of that stuff, like, right now, I know you could probably sit here and think it's probably a little easier for you to breathe because you're like, whoo, I found my passion. I got my wife. I got my kids.
Exactly.
Right now, it might not seem so bad, but you got to realize pain is only temporary no matter how long it lasts. So them few years that you did going to college and then that you wanted to walk away and then you just happened to go to a rave club and you didn't even know why you was there. But then you just happened to see some girl and be like, what's up? You know what I'm saying? And now what's up, man?
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's God, man. And not only is that God, that's you and that's her, and that's when everything lines up. Because if she would have met you 2 years prior, who knows? You probably just would have wanted to smash and keep it moving. But you have been through some
things. Exactly, man.
I'll tell you what's funny about that, man.
We laugh about this all the time. You know what I'm saying? We was hanging out one day. And, like, fresh summer going into, like, 9th grade, man. And, you know, the opportunity was there. You know, back then, you know, I was a dog. You know what I'm saying? The opportunity was there. You know what I'm saying? But it didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? It didn't happen. And that was God not letting it happen, you know what I'm saying? Because we joke about it now. If it would have happened, would we have just thrown each other to the wayside? You know what I'm saying? Like, would we have just said, oh, we did that, we can go on about our business? But it didn't happen. And now look at it, she's my wife now, you know what I'm saying? She's not just another one of those girls from the past, you know? She's somebody who understands me, I understand her. She understands my passion for bodybuilding, man. She is the business side of my bodybuilding, man. I'll be honest, man. When I get you know, emails from companies and stuff like that, the first thing I do is say, hey, babe, what you think about this? You know what I'm saying? And she'll shoot me the reel about it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that don't sound like you winning. You know, it sounds like they winning. Or it don't sound like y'all meeting even. It sounds like you going to lose this situation. And then I go back and reread and say, you know what, you sure right. And, yep. You know, I say this, man. God, I tell you how crazy God works, man. With football, I was all about football. I wasn't worried about the business side. I wasn't worried about learning to, you know, to promote myself, to put myself out there. Mm-hmm. I was just letting Phil do the talking. With bodybuilding, I have become more – when God gave me bodybuilding, I have become a more rounded person. I now own my own LLC company called MP2 Posing, where I teach – you know, I help people get their stage posing down as far as bodybuilding, as far as physique. You know what I'm saying? I have a couple clients right now. I got one getting ready for a show this weekend, and I have another one getting ready for a show in October. And I helped them get their pose down. I would have never done that with football. I would have never – the mentality I had back then was so selfish, man. I would have never opened up to help anybody. You know what I'm saying? I now have learned how to speak to businesses and how to make sure that I'm not in a losing situation. Because when you get big is when the snakes come, man. And you see these big names in football, there's always going to be a snake out there trying to get latch on to the big fruit. You know what I'm saying? They want the big fish. They don't want somebody who's just okay. When you get big and you're great, that's when the snakes shake your hand. And you have to learn how to sense that and how to deal with that. And back then, I would have jumped on any situation that involved, you know, getting money or getting to the league. I wouldn't have thought, oh, that's a snake. That's this. He trying to be shady. I wouldn't have thought about that. Now I sense stuff like that. I realize stuff like that. I've opened my eyes more in through bodybuilding, and it's helped me so much. Man, I did my first guest posing last week. I know you saw the video. Did my first guest posing last week. I have another one coming up in October. You know, so I'm getting ready for my first pro show in Vegas. I've had people that have helped me get to Vegas. You know what I'm saying? I started up a GoFundMe, and because of many people that I've touched and throughout, you know, throughout my life, they want to see me do better, and they also have donated and helped me get to Vegas because they know, man, in the sport that I'm in, most of the times those guys don't have families. You know what I'm saying? The ones that do come across so many financial problems that it's hard to excel. And a lot of people want to see me excel because they know I'm a good person. And they know I'll never do anything, you know what I'm saying? All I'm doing is teaching positivity and being great and how to better yourself. Man, I'm big on positivity. Man, it's so crazy because I've got a new job that I'm starting next week. And I've been working at an elementary school, man, with kindergarten through fifth graders for the past 4 years, man. And when I told those kids, I told them yesterday, man, I said, you know, Mr. Pearson's last day is Friday. It was a blessing, and it was so sad, man, to see how many of those kids bald, man, because I've impacted their lives, man, just being the fun, silly dude at an elementary school, man, and these kids were sad. And then to make it even better, man, I posted, you know, the city of Rowlett has a Facebook page, and I know a lot of the parents from my school are on there, so I posted, hey, I don't know if your kids have told y'all, but Mr. Pearson's last day is Friday. And a lot of those parents, man, a lot of those parents spoke so highly of me from their standpoint and from what their kids have told them. And that made me feel so much better about my life than anything that football could have gave me, than anything that bodybuilding could have given me. Because you got to realize, even with bodybuilding, with football, any sport, basketball, anything, your legacy eventually will end. Think about it. LeBron James is trying to overshadow Jordan's legacy, someone that's the greatest of all time. You know what I'm saying? And people are starting to put his legacy over somebody else. So eventually, your legacy will end. All the trophies you win, all the medals you get, all the ribbons will eventually just collect dust. But how people remember you and how people speak of you will never change. You know what I'm saying? So to hear people say how I've impacted their kids' lives, how much their kids adore me, how much they adore me as a person, how much they hope for the best. Man, that was more than anything that I could have got from any sport, man. And I'm just glad that I have gotten my life together, because I'm telling you, man, those 2 years before I found my wife and between football, those are some rough times, man, because I felt like anybody I talked to was out to get me, man. I felt like nobody wanted to chill with me anymore because I had fallen off the deep end. You know what I'm saying? They see that, oh, man, that dude Markell, man, he was a stud in football, but, you know, look at him now. You know, I don't know if you've seen the Randy Moss 30 for 30 that ran university, man. I felt like I was right there. Mm-hmm. You see so many guys in Garland, Rowlett area, in Dallas in general. You look up, you're like, dang, dude, that dude was a stud. And you look at him now, what's he doing? Sitting on the corner, at the, you know, in Garland, it's a so-called Wayne. And you see a lot of guys, mm-hmm. man, that you look at and you're like, man, that dude was cold, man. You look at him now and it's like, man, he chilling at Wayne's. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? And I felt like that's where I was going to be. Chilling at Wayne's, you know what I'm saying? Just talking about what could have been and what has been. I didn't know what to do, man. I did not want to be that person. That's just like, man, talking to some of the guys. What's up?
Yo, that brings me to this. Do you know, have you ever heard of Torrance Rawls?
Yeah.
Torrance Rawls. Yeah, man, that's my partner. We played running back together here at Tech.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah, he was like 50 Cent. Yeah, he down there coaching. But yeah, but that man, yeah, I wasn't trying to interrupt you, but yeah, man, that's my homie. He just popped in my mind right there, like Garland. Yeah,
oh, okay.
He took me under his wing down here in Tech. But yeah, man, but we about to be ready to wrap things up. So if there's anything, let me stop right there. Back it up. I asked everybody who come on my show. Oh, actually, Torrance Rawls has been on my show, too. He was one of the first guests I had on my show when I started 2 years ago. So we're familiar with Garland. But, hey, you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years, man. I already told my wife this. In 5 years, I see me blowing up in the fitness industry and not putting all my eggs in that basket, but the route I'm taking right now, I see myself getting big in the fitness industry. I told my wife in 5 years, I see her not working. You know, I want my wife to be able to stay at home, enjoy. Now, will she actually stay at home and enjoy that? No, because my wife is at work. She likes working, but I told her I see us in the house. I see her not working if she chooses to. That's my biggest motivation. I want my wife to be able to say, I can stay at home, I can relax, I don't have to work for anybody. You know what I'm saying? Just enjoying my family. You know, I see me teaching my son. At that point in time, my son will be 8. So I see me sitting at my son's football games, being to watch his games. My daughter will be 4. I see me preparing her to get ready for school, man. And I just see me doing great, you know, and accepting all the blessings that God has thrown my way at this point and getting ready for the ones he's going to continue to throw at me. That's where I see myself.
I feel you, man. That's what's up, man. I definitely see it. That's why I reached out for you. It's crazy how, you know, I think I was sitting in Coach Simon's office looking at the tape and all that, and, you know, and then to hear your story on the back end of it, and you coming to Harden, and then you fighting your butt off just to step on, then fighting your butt off, and you was first team to come back. Then it's 4 y'all fighting for the same spot, and then that next year, y'all beat Delta State, and then you get kicked off the kickoff team. Hey, I know your pain, bro. I've been down that road for 2 years, you know. I don't know if you know about my story at Hardy, you know what I mean? But some wrongdoings and some lies been around. So I know it was like
you know, he was right there with you, Robbie. He was right there with you at the crib, Pete.
Yeah.
We crashed there every weekend, man.
Yeah, man. But everything happens for a reason, man. You know what I'm saying? You're doing what you're doing. I'm doing what I'm doing. But what I want to tell you is, Mr. Pearson, keep doing what you're doing, bro. Continue to soar. Stay a family, man. Keep your family second, God first. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So with that being said, man, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. We're about to wrap things up. We got about 20 seconds. Is there anything else you want to say? Well, let the people know where they can follow you at real quick.
You can follow me on Instagram at Mr. Pearson. That's MR.PIERSON. on Twitter. I'm trying to get back on my Twitter. You can follow me at underscore Mr. Pearson. Facebook, just Markel Pearson. That's M-A-R-Q-U-A-L-E Pearson, P-I-E-R-S-O-N. Also have an athlete page that I keep everybody posting on. If anybody's listening in Dallas-Fort Worth area, I'll be in Fort Worth on October 24th doing a guest posing as well as working some booths, and be just anybody want to come up to me and talk to me, I'm all ears, and we can talk about anything, man. You chit-chat about what food I'm eating, you chit-chat about life, and I'm there to talk to you, man.
Already. Well, it's been a blessing. Well, there it is, Mr. Pearson. I'll go ahead and hit you up on Facebook a little later. But everybody is, do what you love and love what you do. Life's about making your dreams come true. I'm your owner and creator, Saving Our Seat Successfully, P. Richardson. Everybody have a great night. See you next week.
You know what?